Hello, I want to welcome you to this session on marriage. We've already talked about that marriage was God's idea, and that God desires that you have the kind of happy, healthy, fulfilled marriage that you've always dreamed of. And that's why God gave us the Word of God, the Holy Bible, as sort of an instruction manual on how to be happy in life and how to be happy in marriage. And so, we're looking at what the Bible says about how we can have the kind of happy, fulfilled marriage that we've always wanted. First of all, we talked about God creating marriage, and if we're going to do it right, we have to do it His way. Then we talked about the role of the husband and the role of the wife in the marriage. Now we want to talk about one of the most important things of all, and that is the principle of commitment. You can't have the kind of marriage that God wants you to have without commitment. That's what marriage is. Marriage is based on love, and love is a choice. And it has to be based upon commitment. When we stand at the altar, we make a commitment to work to live together in holy matrimony until death do us part. And we want to base our marriage and build our marriage upon that commitment. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." That's the kind of commitment that we want our marriage to be built on. Without commitment, no marriage can last. And it takes a deep-rooted commitment for life, so that when the rough times come and the difficult times approach, that we fall back on the commitment that we've made. We don't even give any thought whatsoever to ending the marriage because we've made a commitment, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. That's the commitment we make before God as we stand at the altar in holy matrimony. Now we need to understand that when you get married, it's for the long haul. You see, marriage is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15 says, "For when God made His promise to Abraham, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Sometimes people get frustrated because in the early years of a marriage, it's not everything that they hoped it would be, but we got to understand that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to get the kind of marriage that God wants us to have. And so, like Abraham of old, it said he patiently endured and he did obtain the promise. And you and I too can obtain the promise. You know, God wants our marriages to thrive, not just survive. And it takes commitment if we're going to have that kind of marriage. You see, we're soulmates, not roommates. And that means that we're committed for the long haul till death do us part. So we want to build our marriages on the commitment. And understand that marriage is not an event, it's a journey. The wedding is an event. The honeymoon is an event. But your marriage is a journey, and it's a journey for life. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." That's what God wants for us, that we endure all the way to the end, that we are committed to our marriage. And we have to learn to enjoy the journey. Enjoy the commitment of being a husband and the commitment of being a wife. And that we've got to keep growing and keep moving in this journey. It takes a lifetime to build a strong, happy family, it takes a lifetime. And so we got to just keep moving. And we let our commitment cause us, even in tough times, to keep moving in the journey that we call marriage. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time." There's going to be some tough times in your married life, but it's during those times that you've got to keep doing the right thing. Stay on line with the commitment that you made, and don't give up. Oftentimes I feel sorry for people who pull the ripcord and give up on their marriage before they've given it time to develop into the kind of wonderful family that God wants them to have and that they aspire to have themselves. So we have to stay on the journey of commitment, to never arriving, always moving forward. And so that's what we want to talk about today. What do we keep moving forward to? What will help us have the kind of wonderful marriage that God wants us to have? Well, you got to be committed to keep moving toward godliness, to become more and more like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "Each of you should look not only at your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ." So we want to have a godly attitude toward one another. Have the kind of attitude Christ had. What kind of attitude is that? Preferring the other person. That's the attitude of Christ. Jesus came not to be served, but he came to serve. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus acquiesced his will for his church. And that's the attitude that we ought to have toward our spouse. And so as we move through the years of marriage, we want to keep growing in godliness, keep moving toward godliness. That's the journey, becoming more and more like Christ. And the more you become like Christ, the more you prefer the other person. And that makes for a happy marriage. How do you continue on this journey of becoming more like Christ? Well, you've got to keep prayer alive in your life and in your marriage. You've got to study the Bible. Don't let your Bible collect dust on the shelf, but be a student of the Word of God and get involved in Christian fellowship. It's very important that you be involved in church. As a couple, you find yourself a good Bible-believing church that's passionate about worship, and you get involved in it. And through prayer and Bible study and Christian fellowship in a good church, you're moving toward godliness all the time. We've said that commitment keeps us moving in this journey. We also need to keep moving toward servanthood. Remember, we said earlier that people get married for the wrong reasons. They say, "I'm looking for someone to meet my needs." But God constructed marriage so that it can be a vehicle that we can use to minister to others. God wants us to be more concerned with meeting our spouse's needs than having our own needs met. And so we want to keep moving towards servanthood, to see ourselves as a servant. The wife sees herself as a servant to her husband. The husband sees himself as a servant to his wife. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, the Bible says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, what we ought to do is look for ways and opportunities that we can serve our spouse. We're not in competition with one another. Recently, I saw where CNN Crossfire had a debate between the National Organization of Women and Promise Keepers, and I thought, what's wrong with this picture? We're not adversaries. We're not fighting with each other? No, God created men and women to be in harmony through holy matrimony. And we're soulmates. And we're in it for the long haul. And so we're committed to continue to move towards servanthood. That as we develop and grow in our marriage, we're more interested in serving the other person than we are serving ourselves. You see, husband and wives are a team. And we work together to build a successful marriage. And the marriage must be built on commitment. Another thing we've got to be committed to is commit ourselves to keep moving toward honor. We want to honor one another. You know, earlier we talked about the five needs of the wife, which are affection and conversation, honesty, financial support, and family commitment. And then the five needs of the husband, which are sex, recreational companionship, attractive spouse, domestic support, and respect. You know, the husband has a need to be respected by his wife, and the wife has a need to be honored by her husband. So, we want to continue to grow in this. We want to be committed to honor. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Sir, it's your duty to honor your wife. Ma'am, it's your biblical duty to respect and honor your husband. You see, when we get married, we don't want to change the other person. We want to cherish the other person. We don't want to reconstruct. We want to respect. We don't want to attack. We want to affirm. And we want to be committed to honoring each other. Oh, it's easy to do in the early days, but commitment causes us to stay on the journey, to stay on the path, and to support each other, to affirm each other with affection, to prefer one another. This thing of honor is very important. And if we hope to have the kind of happy marriage that God wants us to have, then we've got to be committed to honoring each other. You know, we're going to stay on the journey of commitment. We've got to keep moving toward communication. Oh, communication is so important in any relationship. We've got to keep the communication lines open, for if we ever shut them down, then our marriage is doomed. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the fault. If the other person listens and confesses, you've won that person back." Honest, open communication is critical in any marriage. We have to be willing to not only communicate with our spouse, but we have to be open to them communicating with us. It's the only way we can grow. You know, oftentimes you hear this scenario in a marriage. "Honey, what's wrong?" "Nothing." "Oh yeah, something's wrong, I can tell. What's bothering you?" "Nothing, just leave me alone, nothing." Well, that's a dangerous scenario in any marriage. To clam up cuts off the lines of communication. That's dangerous in a marriage. So what we want to do is, instead of clamming up and cutting off communication, we want to move into the deeper realms of communication, to learn how to communicate on an even deeper level. You know, Gary Smalley has identified five levels of intimacy in communication. He says it starts off when you communicate with cliches. You know, how's the weather? How are you feeling? How are you doing? That kind of thing. The next level is communication of facts. That's when we discuss things and talk about facts. Then the next level is when we feel comfortable enough and open and honest enough to communicate opinions, how we feel about different things. Then the next level is when we share our deep feelings. We're comfortable enough to share our feelings. That's the kind of communication we want to work toward. We want to develop into the kind of honest, open communication where we feel comfortable sharing our deepest feelings with one another. And then, the most intimate level of all is when we feel comfortable revealing our needs with one another. This is what every marriage should strive for. So we want to keep the communication lines open, and we don't let little bitty hurts build up. You know, I've had people sit in my office contemplating ending their marriage, and they can't even tell me what's wrong. They've just let the little bitty disappointments and the little bitty hurts bank up to become a great big giant. And we don't need to do that. We need to keep the communication lines open and share honestly with one another. Another thing we need to do is stay on the journey of enjoyment, to work to keep fun in the marriage, to work to enjoy one another. We need to be committed as husbands and wife to enjoy our marriage and enjoy each other. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "I've come that people may live and that they may enjoy life to the fullest." God wants us to enjoy life and to enjoy our marriage and to enjoy one another. But we've got to be committed to that. Husband, you ought to enjoy being with your wife more than being with your friends. But that takes work. You got to work toward that. Ma'am, you ought to enjoy being with your husband more than you enjoy being with anybody else. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, why don't we bring back dating into the marriage? You know, that's how you had fun during the courtship days. You'd plan dates and go out and enjoy things together. Why do we stop doing that when we're married? No. Keep dating alive in your marriage. And another thing, the little love notes that we used to write each other, keep that going. Anything we can do to keep the enjoyment alive and make time for each other. Don't let the cares of this life and the busyness of the day crowd out your spouse. Make time for each other and plan to do things that both enjoy. And while we're talking about commitment, we've got to be committed to moving toward God's plan. Marriage is all about purpose. God has a purpose for your life, and He has a purpose for your marriage. And we need to understand that God wants to accomplish something through our marriage. He has a plan and a purpose. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. So, God has a plan and a purpose for our marriage, and we need to be committed, committed to fulfilling that plan and that purpose. And we need to understand that God desires unity in our homes. God doesn't want our marriage to be a place where there's fussing and fighting and strife and division. No. There's no joy in that, no happiness in that. And that's not what God desires. He desires that we have unity in our home. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. So, what we want to do is we want to work to have the kind of marriage that has harmony and unity. And we don't let the humdrums set in on our marriage. You know, one person said there's three stages of marriage. The honeymoon, then the party's over stage, and then the let's make a deal stage. Oftentimes we move from dating to debating, but that's not God's best for us. Commitment is the key to keeping unity in the marriage. We're committed to one another. We're committed to moving down the road and staying on the journey of marriage. You know, your marriage has an enemy. The devil doesn't want us to have the kind of marriage that God wants us to have. And he's constantly working to destroy it. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose," Jesus said, "is to give life in all of its fullness." So we've got to understand that the enemy's constantly wanting to bring strife into our marriage, to bring envy into our marriage, working to destroy what God has put together. But we need to be committed that no matter what the enemy tries to do to destroy the marriage, we're going to remain committed to the marriage. And if we do that, then we can have the kind of wonderful marriage God wants us to have. What are some things that cause strife and discontentment in the home? Well, one thing is selfish desires. James chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Selfishness is a terrible enemy to any marriage. And you and I need to remain committed to preferring the other person and never allow self-centeredness to set up itself in our marriage. You know, another thing that can cause division in a marriage is surmising evil. Titus chapter 1, verse number 15. "Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their conscience are defiled." What does that mean? That means that anytime you don't understand something your spouse says or does, or you don't understand their motive, you've got a choice. You can either assume that they didn't mean anything bad by it and that their motive is pure, or you can surmise evil. You can think the worst. We need to be committed to thinking the best about our marriage and thinking the best about our spouse and not surmising evil. For instance, the husband comes home one day and he's had a rough day at work, and maybe he's not as affectionate as he normally is. Well, the wife has a choice right there. She can surmise evil. Oh, maybe he doesn't love me as much as he used to, or maybe there's somebody else, or all these evil things going on. Or she could assume the best. He's just had a rough day. I'll give him some time. You see, we want to stay away from surmising evil, because that'll cause division and strife in the home. I'll tell you something else that causes division and strife in a home is secret sin. When we allow sin to come into our lives, no marriage can survive that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13 says, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, then God will show you mercy." So when we do things that are wrong, we need to be quick to ask God to forgive us and quick to ask our spouse to forgive us. You see, marriage is about commitment. We've got to be committed. Yes, there are going to be some tough times. Yes, there are going to be some curveballs thrown at us in life and in marriage. Yes, we're going to face difficult times, but we need to be committed to the journey. It's a lifelong journey. It's not an event. It's not over when the honeymoon's over. No. Till death do us part. That's the kind of love God wants us to have for one another. Love that's based on commitment. Love. You know, when you go and you read the wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, it describes for us and gives us a word picture of what love looks like. We started this session with reading verse 7. I want to read it again, because this is the essence of a marriage that's built on love, the kind of love that is committed for a lifetime. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Commitment. That's what the marriage has to be built on. And if we build our marriages on commitment, then we can have the kind of happy, wonderful, fulfilled married lives that we aspire to and that God wants us to have. Would you let me pray with you right now as we end this session? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us the joys of being committed to one another. And we pray right now that you will help us to see marriage as a lifetime commitment, not an event. To see it as a marathon and not a sprint. And help us to stay on the journey, to be committed, to love each other until death do us part. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.